What I'm going to share with you this morning is, and it really has to do with the election, not so much with, really has nothing to do with, what's that old guy's name? Don't know where it's at all the time. Which one? Huh? Ran for president. Okay. Anyway, this had nothing to do with him or Donald Trump, but it does do with some ideologies, so I want to deal with that this morning, and we trust to be of some help. And really, I've got it under the title of The Goal of Satan, and the goal of Satan is to be God and to control. We will look at some scripture a little later where he actually is saying that. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. First of all, look at verse 14, and then we're going to go back to verse number 1. Verse number 14 says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is what? Transformed into an angel of light." And what that's teaching us is he appears or wants you to think he is good rather than evil. So let's look back. Verse number 1 says, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." The Apostle Paul had won these people to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was concerned about them. And he desired that they might maintain purity that was given to them. We get saved by the grace of God. We live by the grace of God. We're saved to newness of life. We're saved to live in newness of life. God didn't save us to go back to sin, but he saved us to go forward and to live for him. And so he's talking about, "I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Notice verse 3. He says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Eve was told by God she was told that God withheld information. You think about it for a moment. The devil comes and says, "Hey, you can be as God." God is not letting you know what can really take place. And so she was beguiled by Satan. And he says, "So should your minds be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." I don't want this to take place. We need to understand we can be deceived. Is that not true? Now, we know something. We looked at it very vividly with Brother Stringer this week. But go back with me just briefly to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4. Don't lose your spot in 2 Corinthians. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 4. And let's look at verse number 1. And in 1 John 4, verse 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Now, what did we learn from Brother Stringer? All false religions come from somebody listening to spirits. Oh, by the way, did you know that's how we have the Word of God? Is by the Holy Spirit of God. But we can try it because we can look at the Word of God and we can know it. Notice verse 2, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." We know that be case with the Word of God. But we also know in false religions, they do not teach the right thing about Jesus. "And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come." And notice these words, "And even now already is it in the world." It hasn't changed since that day. Now let's go to verse number 4 in back in 2 Corinthians 11. And it says, "For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if he receive another spirit, which he have not received, or another gospel, which he have not accepted, ye might bear with him." Ye might bear with him. And that is basically, to bear with means to endure his onslaught of evil thinking. "For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest of apostles." One of the problems that took place, these false teachers would try to throw slights at the Apostle Paul, try to get people to think that he was not really an apostle. And so he's going to defend himself for a few moments. And it's interesting how this all takes the twist. It says, "For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things." They had seen him. They had examined his teachings. He was manifest. He was made known amongst them. Verse number 7. "Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And on all things have I kept myself from being burdensome unto you. And so will I keep myself." And what he's trying to tell them is this. He did not do this for money. There was nothing for him out of this. It was not for his benefit. Other churches had helped him during that time, but he was not speaking to them for that. And he wanted to remind them that. That's not the case, by the way, the false teachers, as can be observed over and over again. But notice here, we'll go down to verse number 10. "As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Whereof, because I know you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we are." And he did, as he went to them, he didn't give them any reason to question that his message was accurate. He did it out of love. And he's trying to get this across to these people and to help them to understand that there was no occasion really for them to look at him and see that he was not really from the Lord. But let's notice verse number 13. "For such are false apostles." These are the kinds, they're going to do it for money. They're going to do it for whatever they can get out of it. "Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Wow. Here's a truth we need to be aware of. And that's in verse number 14. Satan can do what? He can transform himself as these have spoken of, are his workers and helpers. "For he transformed himself into an angel of light." And here's a truth we need to be aware of. Satan appears in an angel, we've said it, one who is doing good, wanting the best for people. That's what he's seeking for them to think. He will use phrases like this, "for the greater good." By the way, many folks who use that phrase, it simply means you can cheat and lie to bring about the greater good. And that's by the way we're at in this world today. We'll demonstrate a little bit more fully in a bit. Matter of fact, the devil deems himself, I'm going to use a word here, progressive. Have you heard that word recently? He's a progressive. And what we look at that and understand, this word progressive is a term that's referring to progressing to a utopia. You say, what's wrong with that? A utopia is a heaven made by man. That's what's wrong with it. It's an imagined place or state of things in which everything is perfect. It's a man-made heaven on earth. In other words, it is heaven without God ruling over us. It is doing and indulging ourselves in all kinds of pleasures. This word progressivism is really something to say we can go to even greater heights of sin. We're progressing in our sinfulness. Can we look back and say, boy, that's been true in my lifetime. This old world just gotten worse and worse. When society breaks down, it means morality becomes immorality. And it has affected us tremendously. And it's affected us within our churches as well. Excuse me, I have all kinds of notes this morning. It is progress to freedom of all restraints. Anything that would restrain it is saw as evil. Thus, government is looked at as evil. Police. Why do we have the thing said, unfund the police? We don't want police. We want somebody reminding us or stopping us from doing that which is pleasurable. Christians and the religious people are seen as restraining institutions against man's pleasures. And so we have this one Satan who is what? Deceiving the world. He has come as an angel of light. And so he says in verse 15, says, therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So we find that this one Satan has those who have transformed themselves. They're leaders, but they're showing up looking like people who are ministers of righteousness, seeking the better good of man without God is certainly applicable here. Who are these people in our society? I'm going to name a few names this morning, or label a few labels this morning. Not so much names, though I do have a few. But I will say, first of all, primarily those who are Marxists. You heard the term Marxist? Karl Marx said, by the way, he wrote the Communist Manifesto. He was the one who came up with the whole idea. And he said this, we make war against all prevailing ideas of religion, of the state, of country, of patriotism. The idea of God is the keynote of a perverted civilization. It must be destroyed. Do you catch what his thing is? He is telling us, basically, the purpose of Marxism. And that is to eliminate religion, to eliminate borders. That's what happens if you're eliminating the state and country. Thus, you don't have patriotism. It's all a one-worldism. That sounds like something's going to happen in the end times, doesn't it? Now, let's think about it for just a few moments. There's some things that we understand in this world. And I hope you see the biblical background here. And we understand there's some things that are taking place in our society that I believe are seeking to destroy it. We'll probably get, well, I won't even say it because it might happen anyways. The BLM leaders, I'll name three of them. There was one called Alicia Garza, one is Patrice Cullors, and another Opal Tomlin, if I can say it right. In 2015, Cullors said, myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. If you've watched the news media at all, it is not uncommon to be able to what put together Marxism and the BLM leadership or the BLM movement. Now, by the way, I believe that all lives do matter. Baby lives, black lives, white lives, yellow, red, all lives matter. By the way, this group, it's not about a certain race of people. It's really about seeking to eliminate all those things that they believe are against what they want. One of their leaders said, "We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages." That sounds familiar. "That collectively care for one another." By the way, it's called a commune, communist. And this started, by the way, in my generation with the free love movement, all those things. And what are they trying to do away with the family? Why do you want to do away with the family? The family is the basis of who we are. It's what makes us. And if we can remove that, then we can place people on the foundation we want. And thus, that is what they're saying to us. They are seeking to eliminate the building block of society, that is family. What is the first organization that God created? It was the family. He created Adam and Eve and told them to go and to multiply. To the Jewish people, he made it very plain as to how they were to keep before their children their ancestry, the basis upon which their lives were founded, and train them in the things of God, that they might go forward and go forward for God. But what are these folks trying to do? Destroy the idea of God. There's a guy by the name of Frank Marshall Davis. He was a pro-Soviet, pro-Red China communist. His Communist Party USA card number revealed in the FBI files. I have the number before me. He was a prototype of the loyal Soviet patriot, so radical that he was placed on the federal government's security index. He was a journalist. In the early 1950s, Davis opposed the United States' attempts to slow Stalin and Mao. This is the kind of fellow he was. He was also very instrumental in the life of our former president. Interesting, is it not? Many believe that in one spot in his book, he refers to his real father, and they believe he's referring to him. So we have Marxism, seeking to destroy our society, seeking to transform us into something different, trying to take away our realization of God. Because Satan wants to be God. So I've looked at Marxism. I used the word a little while ago, progressives. Basically, they're the same as Marxists. It's a word they coined so they'd be acceptable because the word communism is appalling to most people. And the Democratic Party has been seized by those who are self-proclaimed socialists. Do I need to name their names? They are unashamedly socialists, which is simply put, anti-God. It's that we can build our own utopia, and if we get God out of the question, Does it seem any wonder that some want to close our churches in the name of safety for our better good? We need to think. There's another enemy. It's evolutionist. There was a man by the name of Darwin, wrote his publication called On the Origin of a Species. It came a decade after Karl Marx wrote the Communist Manifesto. The theory of evolution, by the way, it's a theory. It's not a fact. It cannot be proven. Facts are things that can be substantiated. They talk about science. Science is something that is observing. The only one who's ever observed the beginning of this world recorded what he observed because he did it. His name is God. But this theory provided Marx with an ostensibly scientific, and I use that word very loosely there, grounding. If all species evolve because of natural selection, are you folks with me? I hope I'm not being unclear here. And that you and I as human beings are merely the most advanced of organisms, then there's no room for the divine. It all came about by chance. God is left out. Whose idea is that? He wants to be God. In a letter to the socialist philosopher Ferdinand LaSalle in January 1862, Marx said, "Darwin's book is very important, serves me as a natural scientific basis for the class struggle in history." And many folks do not understand this great connection between Marxism and evolution. The teaching of evolution advances beyond the classroom of science, falsely so-called, may I say, into all subject matter, especially in social studies. You folks are over 50. How many of you had social studies? Is that what they called it? I didn't have social studies. I had history. So what's the big deal? Think of the two words. It's a lot of big deal. Studies and social. What's trying to be changed? Our social lives. And rather than give us the facts and help us understand that this took place and that took place, what happens often is, with our young folks, is that, well, how do you feel about wars after they've studied a few wars? What's that trying to do? Make them feel patriotic or make them feel guilty? And thus we have today many of our young folks who feel guilty and believe that we have been oppressors in this world when that is simply not true. And thus they want to change it. And our public schools are invaded with socialism, where today the biggest percentage of people who are 30 and under believe that socialism is the right path. And when you do not have any of standards of God, that which is of morality, then they're willing to do whatever it is to get what they want. And thus they're willing to lie, to cheat, to riot, and to intimidate. Does this look familiar? This is the underlying principle of all of this. And we understand that Satan himself is transformed to an angel of light. There's another group, and perhaps it affects us more than any other one, and that is the materialist. With the blessings of God upon us, we have had an industrial revolution as never before. I mean, we find some great inventions that took place back in the 17, 1800s. Mass production of goods began. Today we have even another revolution in the realm of computers and all of those kinds of things. It's never been like that before. And man's desire for material, man's desire for all of these things has led him to two masters. And here's the problem. Luxury is often chosen over the Lord. Because of the surge from farms to suburbs, a new class has erupted in a warfare unprecedented. We have workers versus corporations. And thus we come about with labor unions and strikes, and we have, matter of fact, you go back a few years, there used to be some horrible fighting in the streets because of that. And today we have those who are thinking, that's all that some folks want, and they don't deserve it, so they're willing to burn it down for others. Now I'm going to make a few conclusions on this. All of these work together to create hostility of different groups, with one seeing themselves as the victim. Thus we have feminism. What's the feminism movement? They're victims of men. They've been suppressed. And they need to have their rights. They need to have their equal place. By the way, Christian men do not see women as unequals. They see them with a great deal of reverence. When you go to the book of Ephesians and you look at the Lord Jesus Christ and the church there, and he's seeking to present her, it's also a picture of the husband who is seeking to present his wife as one beautiful unto God. And we're not talking about the face, we're talking about the soul. It's not a putting down, it's a raising up. But because of feminism, when it began to in our country at a very high rate, we found our divorce rate going upwards of more than 40%. Racism has a divide that's based on the color of skin. By the way, what's the difference if somebody has different hair coloring? I'm in process of changing that. Because I'm in between, does that make me a compromiser? Some of you got the most beautiful white hair. And one of the things I'm seeing today is some of our ladies who are getting older and are deciding, hey, it's too much to try to cover up. Let the world see what it really is. And really is more beautiful than you thought. Some of you have highlights you never knew you had. But we have that which divides us on the basis of color. Does that mean that because you wear loud colors that you're inferior to somebody who doesn't? Whatever a loud color is, I guess it talks loud. And of course we have the LGBTQ movement. If you can remember all those letters, good luck. That wants liberation from all gender restraints. And those of us who preach morality, those of us who say there are certain things wrong in the area hate to use any other word, or I'd like to use another word, of sexual relations, they see us as in the way. And they want liberated from that. Matter of fact, the push right now, by the way, have you noticed the downward trend? The push right now is for pedophilia. Matter of fact, there have been some who have said that if they get in office, they are going to push for, maybe they're, even if they don't get in office, that they're going to be pushing for releasing all criminals from jail. Should not be any criminality. I guess if you killed somebody, it means you had some sort of freedom of expression or something. There's another one that divides people. Political correctness. How long have we been hearing that word? Stop and think about what is it really? It's an assault upon the freedom of speech. Now, I realize as a Christian, there are things that I ought not to say. And sometimes I say something and afterwards, I go, oh my goodness. But I think the Holy Spirit of God would be much better at taking care of my speech than this political correctness. It's an enemy to free speech. It's saying you're not supposed to say such things. And by the way, if you say something, then you're judgmental. You heard that? Isn't it interesting that the guy who called you judgmental just made a judgment about you? I don't know if any of you have been through them, but they're sensitivity training sessions. What are they about? That you might be sensitive about other people, that you might not be having wrong thoughts about their lifestyles. By the way, as God's people, we ought to love everybody. Now, I understand it's very hard to love the sinner and hate the sin at the same time. You find that difficult? It's so easy to put the two together. But that's, listen, the Lord loved us, but he didn't love our sin. Wow. This past election demonstrates how effective communism has been in our society. It's not been, I mentioned this at the very beginning, it's not been a choice of men, but a choice of ideologies. It's basically Christianity versus communism. I'm only touching the surface of some of this. This summer's riots reveal the length of Marxist crowd of BLM and Antifa are willing to go to establish their agenda. Now, I say all of that, folks, to say this. Now's the time for God's people to get serious about their duties to God and country. We need to be very serious. Now's the time to reach out to people and to give them the gospel. For what will change the heart of America if it is not the hearts of Americans? And sometimes we want to point a finger, not realizing there are three that are coming back at us because there is a job that we need to be doing as we reach out to others. Now's the time to put the principles of godliness in the place of pleasures. Doing what God wants, not what we want. And quite frankly, there are so many things that we as God's people do that is what we desire to do, and God has nothing to do with it. We're in a warfare with Satan and all of his cohorts. And by the way, when I use the word cohorts, I haven't even talked about many leaders that call up the spirits of the dead for their instructions. By the way, It is a well-known fact that Karl Marx, who started all of this, got his instructions exactly that way. It's time for us to seek the instructions of one who's already been raised from the dead. Amen? And to listen to him. How do we fight deception? With feelings? No. Truth. Truth. It's that simple. With truth. And you and I need to learn the truth that we might be able to fight in this great battle. It is overwhelming. Unless God and we won't do it, but God through us changes things. Next election won't even be close. Because it has invaded so many of our young people. By the way, on the other side of that, I'm so thankful that there are many young people who are seeing the light. And what's neat about that group is they're not afraid to stand up and to be counted. Well, we got about 5 more minutes, but let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. Lord, I pray that you might help us understand the onslaught that is against us, to take it seriously. That as we look back over the last 6-7 months, it becomes so vividly clear as to what has been taking place for the last several decades. And Lord, we pray that you give us wisdom. Lord, you might give us insight. You might give us strength. You might give us the power of the Spirit of God that we reach out to our fellow men. Lord God, bless and work on our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.